The Lord's Instruction. I seemed to be in a meeting where our necessities were being reviewed. We were considering what should be done. One stood up among us, and the word of the Lord was spoken. Those in America can relieve the situation here, and should have shared with you their abundance years ago. The sanitarium at Battle Creek has been blessed of God. He has imparted to it abundantly, and in its prosperity, it might impart to the work he has signified should be done in Australia. The managers there could have done a large work in establishing and equipping a sanitarium in Australia, had they placed themselves in the situation of the workers in this field. I was bidden, bear the message clear and definite. God demands of them work which should have been done when I sent my workers to break new ground in Australia. While the aggressive warfare was being carried on, and the light given upon health reform, institutions should have been established to give character to the work. The sanitarium at Battle Creek could and should have given of her abundance to relieve the situation in Australia. The neglect to do this has placed us years behind. Of all countries, Australia most resembles America. It is her sister. All classes of people are here, and the truth has not been presented and rejected. There are thousands of honest souls praying for light. God's watchmen are called to stand on the walls of Zion and to give the warning, "The morning cometh," and also the night wherein no man can work. While the angels are holding the four winds, a message is to enter every field in Australia as fast as possible. There is no time to be lost. The Lord says to His people in America, "When I send my servants to establish my work in a new field and build up the interests essential to give it character, I call upon my people to sustain that work with their prayers and with their means. Because they have neglected to do this, the appearance presented by the health institution in Australia is objectionable. It is not a proper object lesson, for it is no just representation of the truth. The medical missionary work in that country, which should have been a noble work, is a work of which God is ashamed. The testimony borne by such meager representation brings the most sacred truth into disrepute. It dishonors God. When my servant, whom I have called to make known my will, was sent to Australia, you in America should have understood that you had a work to do in cooperation with her. Who was it that carried out my directions in laying the foundation of the institutions in America, which have grown to such large proportions? And when my servant was sent to establish the work in a new field, could you not see that he who owns all the gold and silver was calling for your cooperation? You had obtained a standing fully abundant and ample. And when the work was to begin in another field, I would be with my servant to indicate the work, and you should have been ready to aid in lifting up the standard of truth by precept and example in a way that would recommend it to a gainsaying world. My watchmen are to call upon all to come to the gospel feast, to do high service for the Master. Could you not discern that when the same work was entered upon in Australia, it required means? The God of heaven has been dishonored. You have found a place to invest means in various enterprises, as if it was a virtue to leave my work in other lands to struggle in poverty and nakedness. You have not shared your abundant facilities as you might and should have done, even though the sacrifice required might appear large to you. If you have a share in the world's redemption, you must consider the workings of God. In Australia, it has required a great sacrifice to establish the medical work even in a meager way, while you have had everything, and yet continue to purchase that which you could do very well without. Place your money where the work of God demands help, that the medical missionary work in that new field may be made a success. The work in Australia should have been placed on such a basis that after a time it might become self-sustaining. Upon whom has the Lord for so many years laid the burden and travail of soul for the work in America? Who has borne the burden and wretchedness of the people who are constantly working at cross purposes with God? The needs and errors of the laborers in responsible positions have called for a heavy, soul-wearing work. Did you suppose that any amount of wages could be a recompense for this? Nothing that earth can give is sufficient value to recompense the travail and burden of soul, the agony of mind, that have been felt in seeing the people endangering the work of God, and making it necessary for him to withdraw his prospering hand from the publishing association and from the conference. Then the test came upon the sanitarium. God has given them prosperity, not to be a means of self-exaltation, but that they might impart of their substance. When my servants were sent to Australia, you should have understood that God would work through them, and you should have exercised liberality in apportioning means to advance the work. The medical missionary work should ere this have been established upon a solid foundation. There should be no withholding of means. The Lord has let His chastening hand fall upon the Review and Herald office, because they would not heed His voice. Self-sufficient managers hedged up the way, that His work should not advance. The Lord now calls upon the Battle Creek Sanitarium to extend their work, and to assist in placing the health institution in Australia upon a proper basis, and make it a signal to exalt the truth. The time has come when no physical, mental, or moral power is to be wasted or misapplied. The Lord would have you no longer confined to a few places at home, all the great facilities that concern the moral and spiritual advancement of His work. The word of command is, go forward. You to whom I have given much are called upon to impart. Place your means where it will help now in giving light to darkened nations and to the islands of the sea. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, I have spared your life to do my work, and wherever I send you, go, and I will send my angel with you. In no case should you be feeble in your request for the advantage of means. Wherever I send you, go, and speak my words. I will be thy mind, I will be thy judgment. All the advantages are mine. The means and facilities are mine, and there should be no withholding. But selfishness, a desire to control, has kept the advantages in one place, so that everything is overbalanced. Call for the means God designed you to have long ago. Hold up my banner. Give honor to no human instrumentality, but to God, that my name may be a praise in the earth. The Lord, He is God, and before Him there is no other. My work in Australasia has been greatly hindered. Money has been used unwisely in America, in the great centers, so that there is distress for means to build up the work in new places. But go not forth in hesitancy. I will be with you. Ask of my people the means that should have gone to advance the work in the Australasian field, the new world to which I have sent you. Those who stand in responsible places in the work need wisdom in regard to the best methods of proclaiming the last message of mercy to the world. I have a work to be done in Victoria, in New South Wales, in all the Australasian fields. Call for the means which ought to have been flowing there, where there are so few facilities to build up my kingdom, where it will tell the most in magnifying my name. Again, the light given me is, the Lord has sent you to take hold of this work. What you have done in America under the direction of God is to be done in planting the standard of truth and building up the work in Australia. In America, they should know that you need to be supplied with the means required for the work. You have been too slow in calling for the help that is essential. The work should be established in this country, and it will be, for thus the Lord has said. We might be years in advance if our brethren in America had stood unflinchingly to their duty to hear and obey the word of the Lord. Let no more time be lost. You who have so many advantages, do your work unselfishly. It is God's work we are doing, and you will not find the work in your hands restricted if you follow the will and word of God. Share your advantages with us in this field, that the work may stand on a true basis and have the influence and character it should possess. Your minds may not now be prepared to see the importance of surrendering yourselves to do what ought to have been done when we were appointed to come to this field. You may not be able to see all the particulars involved in this request of God to impart. But the special work has been laid out, and you are called upon to do your God-given duty in our onward march in this country by furnishing us with facilities for our work. Christ's dignity and office work are in imposing such conditions as He pleases. His followers are to become more and more a power in the proclamation of the truth as they draw nearer to the perfection of faith and of love for their brethren. God has provided His divine assistance for all the emergencies to which our human resources are unequal. He gives the Holy Spirit to help in every strait, to strengthen our hope and assurance, to illuminate our minds and purify our hearts. He means that sufficient facilities shall be provided for the working out of His plans in this field. I bid you seek counsel from God. Seek Him with the whole heart, and whatsoever He saith unto you, do. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Ellen G. White.